Welcome in, McElroy and Kubik in the morning, 7 a.m. Tuesday, January 18th. Listen online, joxfm.com. Grab the app, WJOX, search that, your app store, iPhone, Android, it's free. Before we get going, our friends at Local Roots last week were nice to give us some gear, so I brought a sweatshirt to give to Damien because I figured, you know, we're redoing the HVAC up here in the building. It's been chilly. There's a new vent that's been opened over here on this side that just blasts cold air. And so they gave me like a separate XL sweatshirt. And so I figured, hey, it's cold up in the studio. I'll bring it to Damien. He can have it, like, be his. I didn't realize, based on the Birmingham Southern sweatshirt you're wearing today, he didn't give me a smaller or medium.
It's
you want to give the XL to somebody else, like, you know, if you want to give that to Pat or somebody who's actually, I didn't realize you wore that small of an item. What size is the sweatshirt you have on right now?
It's a medium. Exactly. I mean, there's a hoodie up under it too. I got to stay warm.
I know you're not like a massive dude, but it's like, wow. I didn't expect, like, do you shop in the kids size?
Nah, man. It's
do you still wear children's size sneakers?
No, come on now. I'm a 13.
I don't feel like it's that bad. I'm not, maybe it's just me.
Just a couple pull-ups here and there, and all of a sudden it starts fitting a little tighter.
We'll get a photograph.
No, it's just bulk season, bro. It's December, January, exactly. Bro. It's bulk season. It didn't even be lean yet.
Exactly.
It's bulk season.
You call it bulk. I call it it's insulation season.
No, it's bulk season, bro.
It ain't bulk on me.
Lake beach outdoor season coming up 2-3 months.
Exactly.
You don't need to be prime right now.
This is the grind.
If you're prime right now, you're peaking too soon.
Talk to him.
You just don't understand the dynamics of just trying to look good. Like, Damien's trying to keep it
thick. I'm keeping this thing under wraps, yeah.
That's right. Like, he doesn't want any secrets. He wants when the ladies check him out, say, hey, man, I'm thick. Like, but don't worry. 3 months from now, watch this transformation.
I wish I could make that transformation in 3 months. It takes me a lot longer now.
4 months.
Four, maybe. But I really have to dial in. That's my problem. I have trouble dialing in now. I mean, I get going a little bit in 2 weeks, and then I'm kind of like, nope, don't really want to get going there again. So, I tell you who was dialed in last night, the Los Angeles Rams. 34-11. I'm not sure why I had confidence that the Rams could keep this game tight. They were undefeated on the road and defeated this team earlier in the year, which if you watched that game last night, you would not have believed that actually happened. The Cardinals offense, G-Mac, goes 8 consecutive drives without a first down and without a touchdown that also led to either a fumble or an interception or a punt. It's the longest in the playoffs since 1981. It was complete misery. And Kyler Murray had his Max Johnson against UCLA moment.
No, Max was way better than that.
Yeah, at least he threw his backwards.
Backwards.
Yeah. Okay. Eric Ains being thrown into the goalpost against LSU moment, underhand fast pitch softball moment. I feel like Pat Mahomes is the only one that can make that kind of stuff work. Like, if you're not Pat Mahomes, you should probably not take these things. That one led to a pick six.
That was maybe one of the worst plays I've seen by a professional quarterback ever.
It's up there.
Like, we're going to make fun of the butt fumble. Everyone makes fun of that like there's no tomorrow. That play was 100 times worse than the butt fumble.
Yeah, at least Mark just probably closed his eyes and was running. Like,
how about the 400-pound man that was right there in the middle of the New England Patriots defense, took Brandon Moore, the right guard, and literally threw him into Mark. Okay, so, you know, and the 400-pound man being a quasi-Hall of Famer, Vince Wilfork, I'm going to give you credit there. But that was one of the worst plays I've ever seen.
That was one of the worst games I've ever seen by an offense.
Kyler was embarrassingly bad. Like, needs to give back the Heisman bad. Hold like, on. It was that bad.
I saw some folks last night. You know, don't be the guys who want the Joe Moore Award returned after Michigan against Georgia.
It's the dumbest argument ever. No, come on. Like, he was great back in 2018, won the Heisman. I'm fine with all that. But last night was inexcusable. Like, when we're starting to think about, okay, can we win a championship with this guy? Last night legitimately gives me second thoughts.
Man, you have to wonder.
Seriously.
To see the pitter-patter, to see the mental
scared
clock going
to
off
death.
Way too quickly, the errant throws. I mean, there was one play, I believe it was third quarter, He begins to kind of roll to his right. The play was from the right hash. Now, this is not a big play or anything that a lot of folks would remember. I'm interested if you did. They're on the right hash. He gets I don't even know if he got pressure. I mean, he kind of looked like Bo Nix last night. He begins to roll to his right, so he's into the boundary, and there's a back sort of leaking out of the backfield. It kind of last second, I mean, he threw it about 40 miles an hour.
Yes.
And it goes about 2 feet over the back's head, and I'm just thinking, what was that? That was outside of the Montana foul pick six that he tried to throw. May have been the worst play of the game, and I understand it wouldn't have led to a lot, but that to me, that signified everything that was going through his brain last night. Because obviously there was a lot of panic. Obviously the timing, the rhythm was off. Obviously he was trying to force things that weren't going to be there. And an NFL quarterback knows better than to try to put that much velocity on that kind of a pass to a running back out of the backfield. When that happened, I just said, you know what? This is over.
Terrible.
I mean, this, goodness gracious. And it just wasn't there.
Nope.
Matt Stafford did not have to do a lot of heavy lifting. 13 to 17, 202 yards, 2 touchdowns. Odell hits a 40-yard pass. We saw him do it at LSU. We saw him do it with the Giants. He's got a good arm. Odell, people don't realize this. Odell is a world-class athlete, and that's not just as a receiver. He was actually recruited to, I think, like jump up and play like on the USA soccer circuit, whatever it was, when he was like 14. There are a lot of people that believe he could have been a professional soccer player.
Wasn't his mom like a track star?
Both his parents. He's mega athlete, and so he's got a cannon. I mean, if you watch him throw before games, so we've seen him do this before. First player in postseason history with a 30-yard reception and a 40-yard completion in the same game. So it kind of reminded me of Kansas City Sunday night, where just everything offensively seemed to be working. Like, it doesn't matter what you tried, who you tried it with, whatever it was, it was going to work. And when you don't get to Matt Stafford, you got problems. You've got to make him uncomfortable, because he's shown, Greg, he'll give you the ball and he'll make mistakes, but if you give him time, he will absolutely make you pay.
Yeah, and he was great. Made some nice throws down the field. Thought he was really smart. Knew that he didn't have to do a lot. Did a good job with the blitz beaters. There were a few blitzes in which they were trying to heat him up. And
you wouldn't have thought it, since they only pressured him 6 times last night.
Well, I mean, just because they blitz doesn't mean they got pressure. That's the sad part. Like, for instance, the touchdown to Cooper Kupp that was off his shoelaces. That was a good blitz beater. Not a super accurate throw. Great catch by Kupp. But
I did agree with Eli, though, that would you not have brought the protection to that side if you knew you were going to kind of quickly roll to that side?
I would always like to throw in the face of pressure. So, like, I'm going to protect my backside first.
But if you knew you were going to kind of like half roll, and quickly get it out, I'm thinking more of avoid the deflection.
I didn't watch the Manning cast.
When they did the replay, basically Eli's like, I don't know why you wouldn't have put the protection that way if you knew you were going to kind of drift and get rid of it quickly over to that side.
That makes sense. Yeah. What you should do, you should go rip, and you should send all your offensive linemen to the right. Rip, R is in right. Rip, send all your offensive linemen to the right. Back blocks the end line of scrimmage, and you're off, you know, out the gate. So yes, that's how I would have probably tried to handle it, but it didn't matter. You got it out so quick. It's such an easy throw. It's right in your face. So he knew exactly where to go with it. Just had to pick it up off the ground to Cooper Kupp and make a play. But that was one of a few throws. I mean, the throw to Jefferson down the field was a thing of beauty.
Yep.
Thought he had a couple bad drops. Higbee on the 3rd and 5 to the left would have been a really nice drive extender. Perfect throw right on the face mask. Higbee's got to catch that. You're a tight end, for crying out loud. Catch the rock. All right. And then I thought the throw down the right sideline to Akers that was dropped was a missed opportunity. And they said that, well, Akers didn't get his head back quickly enough. I thought it was on Stafford. It's a running back. Let him run under it a little bit. So those were, you know, hey, we're nitpicking here.
Yes.
So and that's a good thing, that we're this deep in the weeds to try to find areas to improve. Now, can you get away with those things against Carlton Davis and company that you're going to play next week in Tampa Bay? Probably not. Corners are a little better. Defensive secondary is a little bit better. Pass rush, better. So linebackers, much better. So I think the defense that he'll be facing next week, significantly more challenging than the defense he played last night. But for all intents and purposes, to finally get that monkey off your back is significant. I was thrilled for Staff, and I thought the offense in general had a nice plan. Some of their split zone stuff, get them going horizontally. Some of their stretch zone stuff was really good. I really liked it. really, really liked it with what they were doing offensively.
Two things that stuck out to me with Los Angeles last night that would be very scary for Tampa Bay. Rams at Tampa, 2 o'clock Sunday on NBC is when you're going to get that matchup. We'll go through the entire playoff list here in just a few moments for you. However, when you think about this offense, Cooper Kupp, one reception in the first half last night. Now, Cooper Kupp,
they doubled him the whole night. It's crazy.
But it, point being, if you're going to do that, I think Matthew showed you it, we can make you pay other ways.
Did you see how many different ways they doubled him, though?
A lot.
I mean, inverted safeties, robber, like he'd be on the left, the safety from the right be coming down to the middle of the box to double Kupp. Like, I mean, they were just like, all right, see that guy number 10? He's not catching it. All right, don't let him catch it. We'll let this other guy, who is he? OBJ? Perfect. We'll let him beat us. And he was able to do that. And that's why you need a complimentary weapon when you have a go-to guy like Kupp.
Maybe robber should be our first football word of the day.
Thesaurus.
New segment that we're trying to think about doing here on the show that we'll get to you potentially soon.
Spoiler alert.
The fact that Cooper Kupp only has one grab in the first half, a guy who led the NFL in receptions, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, and they're still able to maneuver that offense the way that they did, that would make me nervous. But Cam Akers would also make me very nervous. Because just from last time we saw Cam Akers to this time we saw Cam Akers, he looked very different. This young man is 5.5 months off of an Achilles repair.
See.
That is
a child's.
Unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
Now, ACL surgeries have gotten down to, you know, 5.5, 6 months, 6.5 months. ACL is much more common. ACL is a little bit easier to come back from. Achilles. Achilles will ruin a career. I've talked to multiple guys that had it, that dealt with it. It is, first off, most people will tell you from an orthopedic standpoint, one of the most painful injuries you'll ever go through. And then two, it is the actual healing process is longer structurally than it is for an ACL. And then the rehabilitation, so you have to begin the hard rehabilitation a little bit later. It's amazing to see what Cam Akers is doing. 5.5 months off of Achilles reconstruction. And so if he gets going the way he was going last night, then look out. This offense, and then, of course, you had, you know, A'shaun and Von Miller and Greg Gaines, Leonard Floyd. We know what Aaron Donald can do. That D-line was very disruptive. But the Rams' offensive line, I didn't expect them to have as much success as they did against that Arizona front last night. That's the part that would concern me because, as you mentioned, the complexity of that running game and then how they build around it with Sean McVay. I mean, that's why Kentucky went and got who they got. That's why a lot of people come in and study that offense is because of what the run game gives you in the passing game. It opens up a lot. And if Cam Akers is rolling like that, this offense can be tough to stop. And I could see them kind of getting hot and having a little bit of a run here through the postseason if that offense gets going and looking anywhere near it did last night. Kyler ended up 19-34, no touchdowns, two picks, 137 yards. It just wasn't good. I really don't know another way to describe it. It just flat out was not good.
It was not
for Kyler Murray last night.
It wasn't good. Goodness gracious. Like, are we trying to build him up? Like, this guy's a franchise quarterback and has been anointed since the time he was in high school. It was pathetically bad. Like, on the verge of, like, we need to legitimately think about putting Colt McCoy in the game, who's the backup quarterback. It was legitimately that bad. And part of the problem with me with Kyler, and this has long been Kyler's issue, is I'm not sure he prepares on a week-in, week-out basis like he should. Like, you talk to people that have been around him, man, he's just going to beat you up with athleticism. He's a freak. He's an unbelievable athlete. Unbelievable. Probably as good an athlete as there is in the league. I mean, you really take everything into account, how quick he is, how fast he is, and how he's always able to avoid the big collision. The guy's unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievably gifted, but he doesn't prepare. And he looked like that last night. And every time that they were snapped the football and there was someone that was unblocked or someone that was coming free, it's as if he was surprised. Like, dude, you got to have a plan. Like, running around and like beating guys up with your speed might work in the regular season. Guys ran out of the lineup, guys' focus level is not what it needs to be all the time. It might work in the regular season. When you have Aaron Donald, Greg Gaines, A'shaun Robinson, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, how many other guys? I mean, goodness gracious, it's ridiculous how talented Jalen Ramsey on the perimeter, who's a monster. You name it, they have it. That defense, when they're at full strength, is like an all-star team. Okay? You can't just run around and be the best athlete on the field. You have to have a plan, and you have to win with intellect. And I'm not sure he puts the time in. I've heard from people that know his situation like the back of their hand. I don't know if he puts the time in. Like, you need to put the time in to be uber successful at the highest levels of the NFL. You can win a lot of games, set a lot of records, throw a lot of touchdowns, but win Super Bowls, you got to be uber prepared. You got to be like a doctor with your preparation. And I don't know if he has that right now. Maybe he'll get it. I think the immaturity came to the forefront a little bit last night.
All right, so I'm going
to
give you a little bit of credit. Yesterday on the show, I went Arizona. It's embarrassing, and I apologize to everyone for that. I'm going to take my lumps on that one. But McElroy, you said you were going to roll with the Rams, but you said it was going to be because of quarterback and coaching. And I went Arizona because of, obviously, regular season and then how good they had been on the road. They were undefeated on the road. And this is what Cliff Kingsbury...
Which is crazy, by the way.
It's nuts.
Nuts. To be undefeated on the road and to not be at home for a playoff game is mind-blowing.
This is what Cliff Kingsbury had to say after the game about why the Arizona offense did not have more success.
I'm not sure. That's something we got to figure out. You know, that's what those guys are talking about in the locker room. Got to use it as motivation and come back stronger from it, because that's not indicative of who we want to be. And unfortunately, that showed up tonight.
All right, so my fan brain immediately goes, what in the world? How does that happen? My player brain goes, well, yeah, you need to see it from different angles. You need to have conversations with guys about what they saw and what they thought and what they called, because obviously they can make adjustments and things can change. So I'm just interested in your thoughts as to what kind of reaction you have from hearing Cliff Kingsbury basically say he does not know why their offense could not find success last night.
I mean, when your offense is predicated on the quarterback playing well, I mean, there's difficult to, and this is your guy, right? Like, this is why you have the job. This is why you're at where you want to be. I mean, if your quarterback plays poorly, you're toast. Think about this. Larry Fitzgerald, all-time great. Why did he shut it down? Like, why do you think he shut it down? Seriously. Old age, really?
I mean, that's what I was going to go.
I don't think so. Oh, well. It's because he couldn't play with Kyler anymore. Like, that's the rumors I'm hearing. Like, because he's like, man, this guy's too unpredictable. He's just like, I can't play for this guy. And I think that that's problematic. And as soon as DeAndre Hopkins went out and you have that reliable, hey, this guy's going to win for me every day of the week, you take out DeAndre Hopkins, you put in a 33-year-old AJ Green, it's going to be a drop-off, man. Like, I mean, what are the other threats? Zach Ertz, over the hill. What else? James Conner, over the hill. Anyone else?
Well, James Conner's never been explosive anyway. I mean, he's more of a grinder. So, like,
who's your go-to guy on that offense?
Christian Kirk, honestly.
Yeah, that's
solid.
Kirk is a solid guy. Solid receiver.
Rondale Moore as well. They're both very, very solid. But they're not like, oh man, every down, this guy is a problem. This guy wins no matter what. I'll just throw it up in his direction type of guy. That's what DeAndre Hopkins is.
Right.
Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore are not that. They're catch and run guys. They're awesome. They're awesome players. Great players. But to be a takeover the game guy or to be a catch and run guy, I need that takeover to the game guy. And they clearly missed Hop last night for sure.
Just a rough one last night. And so 4 of the 6 first round games in the NFL, basically not competitive. If you just kind of rolled through, I mean, Buffalo and New England, not very enjoyable. Tampa, Philly, not very enjoyable. Pittsburgh, Kansas City, definitely not enjoyable. And then last night, the Rams and Cardinals, not enjoyable. Now, I do think that changes this weekend. I think Cincinnati, Tennessee's got a chance to be really good.
I found last night to be quite enjoyable, depending on what side you were on.
Yeah, well, yeah. For different reasons. I'm just, from a competitive standpoint, we're referencing right now.
No, it's not about competition. It's just a matter of what side you're on.
San Francisco, Green Bay is going to be incredible.
I can't wait for that game.
It should be.
What's the deal with Jimmy G's shoulder? Why is everyone freaking out about this? Should I be concerned about his shoulder?
Yeah, I mean, they said it's a sprain. Reports are it's a sprain. You know, It's just a sprain.
The goal is don't throw it.
That's
yes, not offense.
Debo, yeah, exactly.
You got Debo. You said you didn't throw it.
That is true.
Come on, he'll be fine.
I think Rams to Tampa could be really good, and I think Buffalo, Kansas City could be really good. I think we're set for. The only one of those games that I see as a potential blowout.
Uh-oh.
Is Cincinnati and Tennessee.
Oh, boy.
Which direction?
That Tennessee defense is just that good. And I don't see it being 42-10, but I could see it being 28-7, something like that.
Oh,
I could. I'm not saying that. I'm calling that now. I'm just going that direction. Now, I will say if Garoppolo is playing like he played in the second half against Dallas, that one could get out of hand. That one could get loose.
How about this, by the way? Toughest ticket in the divisional round is... Not Green Bay 49ers.
Well, all those fan owners already have their tickets, so I don't even know if people even try to get those. People in Tampa don't really
owners
care.
Box known as the General Mish.
you got the ultimate team that nobody really cares about. They might act like they care about them in the Rams against a team that people that actually live there don't really care about.
It was good to see all the stars in LA come out for their team last night.
All big Rams fans.
It was good to know that Jay-Z is a Rams fan.
Paul George, Rams fan. Reggie Bush, Rams fan.
Dwayne Wade.
Yeah. Right.
Big Rams fan.
You know, just right down the road.
Lifelong Gabby Union, Rams fan.
I could see.
Who else is a Rams fan that we saw last night?
No, who is a
Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell, in fairness, does go to a lot of Los Angeles sporting events. I'm going to let him off.
Mean
the
it's
hook.
Okay to be a Rams.
Right. I knew who said you. I didn't see him wearing Rams paraphernalia.
But let me ask you this: when your team relocates, are you given that? You know, we had the COVID 1 year of eligibility given back.
Right.
When your team relocates to your city, do you have that one that one free relocation of bandwagon fandom? Like, is it okay to just say, you know what, I'm now that's my team now?
See, like if I lived in
if the Seahawks came to Birmingham tomorrow, a lot of us would just be like, nah, man, that's my squad. I'm a Seahawks fan. Really?
Been.
Since when? Like you like Chris Warren?
Well, hang on, say
like
one
Steve
more question.
Steve Argent was your guy?
Yeah. Is Russ Wilson still there?
It doesn't sound like he wants to be there.
Okay,
that's
right.
Quote, test the waters. So I don't know if he's going to Smith Lake.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the Seahawks as long as Danger Russ is there. All right. Most expensive ticket. Back to that. And by the way, if you're a St. Louis fan, how can you possibly be a fan of the Rams?
You can't.
You can't.
Nah.
Once they leave your city.
So do you go to the Chiefs?
Yes.
I mean, you can't do that.
Why?
Because that's been the team that you probably hated your whole life.
Who cares? Doesn't matter.
That would be like if Auburn said, we're not playing football anymore. I'm not going to become an Alabama fan.
Guess who I hate? The team that just left my city. Maybe Chicago? St. Louis is pretty close to Illinois, which is, Chicago's right there.
Not really much to cheer for over there.
Or you can just do what we do here in Alabama. Maybe? You can just pick a team that's good.
Ooh.
A ton of Falcons fans. When they were up 28-3.
When the Dirty Birds were here, man, everybody was doing the Jamal Anderson elbow.
Okay, they were sweet. Everyone was doing that in Texas, too. Texas, they were doing the Dirty Birds, too. Michael Vick. Dude, you can go back in my sixth grade yearbook, and like one out of every three kids is wearing a Michael Vick home jersey in their yearbook picture. Literally, you got to see this. It's unbelievable.
Rio recognized Rio.
Dude, when he was electric back in the day. I mean, electric. Everybody loved Mike Vick, so... I'm fine with it. Like, I think if you're in St. Louis and or in Birmingham, take where the tide, just allow your fandom to just flow with the tide.
I'm going to say,
we don't have an NFL team. We're proud of that. Right. Everyone here is proud of that. When the Titans are good, you want to gravitate towards Titans?
No.
Let's ride.
Even when they're bad. You just
go up there. Let's go. Yeah. Who cares? No. Falcons are in the Super Bowl. Boom. I'm a Falcons fan today. You want to go down south, New Orleans? Hey, I'm good with that, too.
You got it.
I'm fine with that. We're proud of the fact that we don't have an NFL team, so therefore, your fandom can be in flux.
All right.
I'm on the other side of that.
Please.
Find a team and stick with them.
Oh, please.
Yeah. I mean, the stigmatism between fans and things that, you know.
Question because I went through Bubby Brister.
Oh, no, I don't want to hear it. Stewart. How hard is it to be
through
a
Neil O'Donnell throwing it to Larry Brown twice for touchdowns in the Super Bowl?
Oh, man.
Ask me what I'm about to go through.
Yeah, I'm going to be.
Ask me what I'm about to go through.
I'm going to be a Steelers, the Mason Rudolph era. That'll be a fun one. The Steelers, Cowboys, and Patriots. If you're one of those three fans, Cole, you're out.
If I were to go to another NFL team, If I were to cheat on the Pittsburgh Steelers and have an affair with the Steelers, it would not. It would be the Chicago Bears.
Oh,
because
God.
I feel like they have the best uniforms in the NFL. Geez. Best uniforms
they play
in the NFL.
Defense. They've always been hard. The 46
there
defense.
There you go. Yeah.
Buddy Ryan.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
They play through the whistle.
Singletarian, Urlacher. Give me William Perry.
Yeah.
Give me Dan Hampton.
I think
the history.
Give me Jim McMahon.
I think you're just playing it. I see Jim McMahon.
No good quarterbacks ever.
I'm about to say. Right. That's why you like him. There's never been a good quarterback.
Never a quarterback that anybody's given a damn about.
No, come on. They had Kyle Orton.
Rex Grossman.
Yeah. Cutler.
Come on. Yeah.
Cutler was sweet.
Cutler did some things.
One out of every three games, he's going to have a dud. But the two out of three were going to be sweet.
Right.
Two out of three, he was going to ride.
For sure.
All right, most expensive ticket this weekend. I'm going to say Buffalo at Kansas City because I think that's where the most visiting fans – actually, Cincinnati's not far to Nashville, but I think more Buffalo fans are trying to get to that game than there are Cincinnati fans getting to Nashville, Niner fans getting to Lambeau, or people who say they like the Rams trying to get to Tampa.
Why are you so down? I think the lowest is going to be Tampa. All right?
I'm going to tell you this. And I'm being honest. I have met one Rams fan my entire life. One.
Who was it?
One person.
Oh, I know who it was.
I've met one person who honestly, openly admits, no, I'm a Rams fan and I've been a Rams fan. That's it. And I've been to LA a lot of times. But I've never met another individual who's like, no, man, Rams, my team.
I like the Rams.
Or seen someone wearing Rams gear, not at a Rams game.
It's like, I liked the Rams when they had Kurt Warner and stuff. Like, I thought they were sweet. Greatest show in turf. They were really fun to watch.
I liked them when they had Jerome Bettis.
Oh, goodness
ugh. Gracious.
Oh, but I'm a diehard Steeler.
History books on that one.
That's like liking Cat's boyfriend before you.
No,
you're not allowed to like. You're not allowed to like
Jerome Bettis at Notre Dame because the dude literally had a belly running the ball, and it's like as a husky kid, you liked all the like whether it was.
But you're not allowed to like
whether it was
Pooh
Bear Williams at Florida State, whether it was Jerome Bettis at Notre Dame, Javorski Lane at A&M. Like you liked all the chubby running backs,
yeah,
but because you aspired to be that guy.
You're a Steelers fan. You can't like the team that Jerome Bettis played for before he played for you.
No, I said that's I just liked
that's just
him
messed
playing
up.
There. I don't know what that is.
Just whenever y'all want to pay a bill every now and then, just let me
know. Oh, yeah, well, maybe at some point. Hang on. All right, so speaking of paying bills, all right, NFL divisional round set, the get-in price, what would be your expectation to be the highest?
I'm saying Buffalo at Kansas City.
That is actually the lowest at $143 get in the door price.
About as good as me picking games last night.
All right. So that is 4 out of 4. Number 3, Bucks Rams, 210. Number 2, which is what I thought for sure would have been number 1, Packers 49ers, 246.
Uh-huh.
And the most expensive ticket in the NFL divisional round is the Tennessee Houston Oilers Titans.
Hey, number 1 seed, baby.
Against the Cincinnati
Comes with territory.
Against the Cincinnati Queen City Bungles.
It has been a while.
289.
That's
mind-blowing.
It's never mind-blowing the amount of vehicles available at Royal Automotive. If you're looking for options, vehicles to choose from, Royal's got it. New vehicles being delivered daily, and Royal's got a massive selection of pre-owned vehicles. Only place in Alabama you can find GMC Acadia, GMC Yukon, Volkswagen Atlas, Buick Enclave, Volvo XC90, so many more options at one location. And Royal Automotive pre-owned, Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills, all part of the Royal Automotive family of stores. Royal makes getting behind the wheel of a new vehicle easier than ever. Royal Automotive, exit 252 or I-65 meets Highway 31 of Vestavia, or online at royalautomotive.net. Caleb Presley joining us at 8 a.m. Aaron Torres talks some hoops at 8:30. Hoping to have Dave Pasch, 9:30, somewhere in that range. He's on the West Coast. We're going to give him a little break. But when we come back, Greg McElroy tweeted something last night that I think we need to have a discussion on. Who's the most popular person that has blocked you on Twitter? We'll talk about it next on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Caleb Presley, the Minister of Motivation, coming up at 8 a.m. How did he get to the bottom of the Jim McElwain shark-no-shark situation? He solved it. He solved the question that we've all been wondering for a long time. He'll join us at 8 a.m. Listen online, jocksfm.com. Here at 7:35, Wednesday, January 18th.
Tire waiting weeks for dental care when you need it on your schedule, or worse, you have a dental emergency, can't get immediate help. I'm Greg McElroy here to tell you about Family Care Dental, the urgent care office where you can be seen the same day. They have 3 locations in Hoover, Fultondale, and Homewood. accepting patients of all ages for emergencies or routine dental appointments. Most insurance plans are accepted, and they can see you on Fridays and Saturdays. Family Care Dental, 874-9605. That's 874-9605.
Let's go to the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome in, Brett, in Louisiana. Welcome in, Brett.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
How we doing?
Great.
All right. You know, it's not often that I agree with an Auburn man, but I have to side with Cole. You pick one team, Greg, and you stick with it.
No, can't Period. Do it. Neck of the woods. Not in this neck of the woods.
Well, all right, look, you're not originally from this neck
of the woods. Whoa. I'm from L.A. I'm the king. I'm from Los Angeles, California, originally.
And Texas.
The king. That's the king of being able to choose your teams, as evidenced by the people in attendance last night.
Well, I mean, you know, that's because that's L.A. and that's California. We're talking about Alabama. To me, age comparison, Greg,
yes.
I'm ancient compared to you, okay? I'm not that. And Damien, we share a birthday, and I'm way older than him. But when I was growing up, I was a Dolphins fan. My brother was a Cowboys fan. And that was it. And you pick one team and you stick with it. You can't go, I like this guy, I like that guy. Today, personally, I don't have a team today. I root for players.
I'm kind of in the same boat. Totally, I'm kind of with you.
To totally be honest with you, okay? I don't have a team anymore. I root for players. Now, you know, 22 is going to run all over the Bengals next weekend. That's all I got to say right there.
I 100% am with you. You start to get to the point where, like, you're conditioned. Like, yeah, you have your teams or whatever, the teams that you love, but you start to root for individuals more so and stories than you do actual teams, especially when it comes to the NFL with me. Like, I'm kind of with you. Like, I would love nothing more than to see the Buffalo Bills win the Super Bowl this year. I'm not a Buffalo Bills fan. I care less about the Buffalo Bills. But nothing would make me happier than seeing their fans win the Super Bowl. You think the parade was big in Athens?
Huh. Oh man! Oh, goodness.
Do we go Mac and Cube in the morning from Buffalo?
I would love to.
Mid-Feb?
Yep. Be great.
Bundle up.
We'll have to go boots on the ground out there.
We're going to need more boots. Stay warm.
Yeah.
Because that would be harsh. Harsh conditions. But I would love to. No, I have all... That's what Brett just described has kind of always been me as an NBA fan. I've always just been a guy that kind of roots for a guy. Like, I was a big Shaq fan.
Ah.
So followed Shaq around. Loves Barkley growing up. So whether it was Houston, Philly, wherever, Phoenix, I was a big Barkley fan. So
I imagine why.
Well, I just have never had an NBA team.
He went to my school.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't in. I like the Air Max 180s that Barkley was wearing.
Oh,
back
here
in the day,
we go.
And
don't give me the shoe.
I hadn't attended Auburn then.
How can you not love Charles?
I had the first Shaq pumps.
How could you not love Charles Barkley? You have to love Charles Barkley. If you don't love Charles Barkley,
see, you guys weren't alive, but there were a lot of people that did not like Charles as a player back in the day because
the round rebound.
Well, because he spoke his mind. Because that he would punch Bill Laimbeer. Because
Bill Laimbeer
threw a window at a bar.
Bill Laimbeer deserved it.
Some of those things happened, but
knowing enough about
that
Detroit,
time, yeah, for sure,
he deserved it.
Every single.
If you don't love Shaq, you got problems.
Well, I mean, I didn't know Shaq as an artist, like, you know, somebody.
Oh, you're talking about as a rapper.
Yeah.
Like, I know I got skills, man. Yeah, but yes, there were a lot of reasons to like Shaq.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was doing...
I'm pretty much just against LeBron. Like, whatever team
he's
on.
Yeah, that's something I can't get
you with. So basically, I like 29 teams right now.
That's fine. That's acceptable. you can have that. You can have that argument.
When LeBron was coming into the league, he was a lot of fun to watch play.
Yes, loved him early.
It's hard to be into him now.
Loved him early.
Still is.
For me, personally.
Pre Miami Heat LeBron, I loved.
Okay, yeah.
And then post Miami Heat LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, he's only gotten better. He's only gotten better since then.
Yeah. Houston wants to chime in. Talk NFL. Welcome into the show, Houston. You're on the Bud Light Hotline.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Just interested real quick to kind of hear y'all's Super Bowl predictions from y'all. And who you think the MVP will be.
Oh, wow.
Have a good day.
Okay. Super Bowl predictions as far as who's going to be in the game. After last night, man, I'm going to go Rams, Kansas City. After last night, your MVP will be? Because if they win, it's going to have to go this way, Von Miller.
What's going on with the Titans secondary?
I mean, They're okay.
Are they okay?
Kevin Byers all pro. So.
Okay, but I'm talking about corners. Like, at one point, they were playing literally...
I'll be like this.
I think their long snapper was playing corner the last time I watched a full Titans game.
Nah, it was... I'll put it like this. Jenkins is out there, and he's...
Jackrabbit Jenkins?
Yeah, he's probably...
An artist formerly known as Janoris.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I grew up with Janoris. Yeah. Y'all might know him as Jackrabbit. But they are shaky at times.
At times. Wow. I'm going to go... Gosh, it's
good enough up front to make up for it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
no, they're great up front.
Can't block Jefferson.
I like the Rams. I'm with you there. I feel like they're the right team at the right time that's starting to peak. So I'm going to go Rams, and I'm going to go Buffalo Bills. I think those are the two teams. I think Josh Allen still, right now, if I can't have Pat Mahomes, give me Josh
Allen. There's a lot to like about Buffalo, but just going through Kansas City going to be tough. There's a lot to like about San Francisco and Green Bay, both those teams, but just what the Rams showed last night, hard not to think that they're going to be there. Tom is on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome in, Tom.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Y'all hit on this thing with Cliff Kingsbury. That was a train wreck waiting to happen. That undefeated on the road was pretty much like rat poison. But Kyler Murray, when he was going down in the end zone, I bet you his thought process was, I am not having a safety on my resume in a playoff game. And if you have that kind of mentality, I'm not sure you ever get over it. And the athleticism part is kind of overrated for these quarterbacks. And I think you could take Tua, Mac Jones, or Jalen Hurts and put them in that game and get the preparation. That's a whole different game. And the thing on Kingsbury is that comment was directed right at Kyler Murray. Kyler just didn't realize it, but I think y'all hit on it. No preparation. And one other thing, we may have the three best college basketball coaches in the state in Oates and Pearl and Bucky McMillan at Samford. I heard Bucky yesterday in a meeting, and he was unbelievable. The Mikey guys, great show. I want to hear what y'all think about Kingsbury.
I would throw Andy Kennedy in that mix as well. I think he deserves to be discussed there. Here's the thing about the saying that the road wins are an anomaly. Look at where they did it. They won at Damien's place. So they won at Nashville. Jacksonville, meh. But they won in that building that they got smoked in last night, earlier this year. Cleveland, whatever. But they won at San Francisco. They won at Seattle. They won at Chicago. Detroit, who cares? But they won at Dallas. I mean, it's not – you can't just brush that aside and say, well, it's just kind of happenstance or just something that just took place. No, it's tough to do, number one, and then they did it in some of the toughest places to do it. So it's kind of crazy to think about. All right.
I'm with you. Winning on the road, I think we're putting a little too much into it. Sometimes it's just matchup, how the ball bounces, et cetera.
No, but when you're undefeated on the road an entire season, that's rare.
Something adds up to that. I'm with you. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not pushing back against it. It's pretty impressive. But it's like, oh, they're so gutsy to go into this hostile environment and get it done. Like, I don't know if I buy that line of thinking. What I buy is that last night on the biggest possible stage, they look like a team that wasn't ready to play. That falls on the quarterback, and that falls on the head coach.
Absolutely.
And that's ultimately what it comes down to when you want to win in the postseason.
I got to get to a break. We were going to hit it this last segment, but I want to go here now because GMAC unfolded somebody who had blocked him on Twitter. I want to say popular, but let's not. Popular is almost too nice. Who's the most noteworthy individual who's blocked you on Twitter? We need to have this discussion, and we're going to do it next on McElroy and Kubik in the Morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the Morning. It is 7:49 a.m. Tuesday, January 18th. Monday Night Football playoff edition last night. We've mentioned cards to get taken out by the Rams, 34-11. But we asked the question because while you're, I guess, looking through different things on Twitter during the game, you come across the fact that Kyler Murray has you blocked on Twitter.
Correct.
Did you already know this or...
No, I don't. I mean, I guess I've just never really looked at it. I mean, maybe I knew this at one point, but like last night I was kind of taken aback. I was like, hang on a second. I said one thing like, oh, Kyler. And then I like wanted to look up, see what Kyler was doing, whatever. Right. It's like natural progression in the social media world. See what his Twitter's looking like. Check that out. Blocked.
Wow.
No, you can't see this content.
Wow.
You can't have it. So I don't know what I did. Nor do I know the timeline of the events, but I cannot without question rule out that he blocked me while using one of those blue tablets on the sideline.
Oh, the Microsoft Surface?
Yes, the Microsoft Surface. Okay. I cannot rule that out completely.
Does anyone know an individual who owns a Microsoft Surface that does not play in the NFL? I've never seen one.
I didn't know that they
made... It's almost like the Pac-12 Network. I'm not sure they're real. I don't know if they were just assembled for the NFL or... But that may be the biggest waste of money of any tech corporation that I can imagine is paying for that deal, because I don't feel like a lot of people have gone out and purchased them because they see Tom Brady slamming his against the bench in Tampa.
Just throwing it around.
Damien, do you know anyone who has you blocked?
No, I guess I'm not important enough. I guess I hadn't made anybody mad.
You just hadn't made enough people mad. You're right. That's really all it is.
Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah.
I ain't got that luxury. How about you?
Now, I thought there were two that were noteworthy that we were going to be able to discuss today. Tim Brando still has me blocked. That is one.
Why?
There was an exchange.
Did you make fun of Shreveport
on a satellite radio station that didn't go well?
On a satellite radio station?
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'll tell you about it during the break.
Oh, mama.
It was not enjoyable for anyone.
Uh-oh. No invites to Chateau Brando.
I had been at one point blocked by AJ McCarron. I just checked it, and he has unblocked me.
Look at you.
Look at her.
I might even go throw him a follow.
Time heals all things.
Nice enough to unblock me. And we're heading down to Mobile in a few weeks, so that's his city. Boom. He's got it tattooed on his chest, so I should probably maybe go go give him a follow and make friends before we head down that direction. So Travis Skelton tweets in, you're going to get a lot of Brando and Wolken on here. Those two would be mine as well. Yeah, I don't know if Dan has me blocked or not. I don't think so, but definitely Tim Brando. What is our rule of blocking here? I mean, we talk a lot about blocking, but
I only block someone. I will block you, but it's going to take a lot, and it's probably going to require you saying something that is extremely vulgar in my mentions.
Yeah, no block from Wolken here. I feel confident about that. I'm similar to you. I went a very, very, very long time with the I will not block anyone. I was never going to do it. And then the mute button came along, and that was a godsend.
Yeah.
Because somebody comes at you with extreme stupidity, mute, move on.
That's
mute,
it.
Move on. They can't take the screenshot and show it to their friends. Like, that badge of honor of, he blocked me. I made him so mad.
Right.
But there are, it's no secret. There are a few things out there that people like to dig up and throw out. And if you do, I'm usually shutting that down because I personally don't deal with it very well. So I'll put you away, and we know we don't have to deal with it again. So
that's it.
There are not a ton of them out there. But kind of like what G-Mac said, if you go a certain route, you bring my family into it, you're out, you're done, can't do it.
Right. There's just certain lines you can't cross.
A couple other things that have previously gone on with me. If you bring that up, I'm gonna move on from that as well.
Just go straight to the source. There was a high school kid who was lived right down the street from me, kept posting my address, said that I was too hard on Bama, kept posting my address. So we'll just tell him to his face and kept posting my address online. I was like, dude, if you post my address one more time, I know your dad. And you don't want me to come down there.
Right.
It was weird. The kid, literally almost crying in my DMs, was so affected and hurt. I was like, dude, that's, I'm just telling you, you put my family at risk at that point. I'm fine.
That's just dangerous.
Hey, you want to dog me for my opinion? You're never going to hurt my feelings. I don't care. Your opinion of me does not affect me. That's your thing. But when you start talking,
we get told we're terrible at our job every day.
Every day,
all the time,
literally every day,
all the time.
That will not affect me. But when you start bringing my family into it, that's where I draw the line. So you start using vulgar obscenities in my mentions, blocked. And you start talking about my family, it's a wrap. So I don't know. Do you get satisfaction by getting the block thing? I did have a strange satisfaction last night seeing that Kyler blocked me. I will say that. I'm not sure why. I don't even feel like I was ever really that hard on him.
So you did it. You feel guilty to wearing that badge of honor.
I kind of did. I kind of did.
I made him so mad he blocked me.
Do you think it was
from college?
That's what I was thinking, too.
I think it was, my guess is it was probably from when Baker Mayfield grabbed his junk on the sidelines, and we were hard on him for it.
So it wasn't even about him. About his boy.
Well, that's loyalty right there.
I don't even know if that was it. I don't know when it would have been. I really don't. I don't feel like I was ever that hard on him. I said he shouldn't have played as a true freshman A&M. He wasn't ready.
Oh, boy.
He shouldn't have.
No, you're right.
That was a fact.
We do know now that it's not Jim McElwain with the shark. We know who it is. How did we get to that point? Caleb Presley solved the entire thing, and he joins us next on McElroy and Kubik in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.